How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
He talked about the law that supersedes the law of sin and death. And this law is, in fact, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible calls it. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It is the law that supersedes. And as you recall, we gave you a little brief diagram. This law of sin, all catching up from all our past thing, is always working down on us. But there's this law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that comes along and enables us to rise above the law of guess what? I just happen to have one more of these left. And I am not going to throw it because the last time I was kind of embarrassed because it hit a lady in the church. And that wasn't very nice, but somebody should get this to take home, otherwise just sit here. But we've done this law of gravity thing, and there are certain laws that enable us to rise above the law of gravity. And, you know, I really do want to throw this thing, but it's too short a distance. I mean, what? And it, just so you know, that somehow that reminded me of 9/11. Oh, it wasn't good. But there are laws that supersede the law of gravity. And I was almost to say the first child to get up there after church can have this, but that would create a panic. Oh, Joe wants it. Joe put his hand up. He wants it. So it's Joe's. But these laws supersede other laws. And this is really good. Otherwise, we'd be in big trouble. So I want to talk about the law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. A quick review from last week. We learned that it is a law. It's a rule of action. In other words, it's something that's always in vogue. It's always functioning. Just like gravity is always functioning, this law is always functioning. And secondly, we learned that it supersedes the law of sin. Thirdly, we learned that it condemns, judges, and cancels sin in us. For what the law could not do, oh, I should have written that verse down in reference for you today, but I was reading over there in one of the epistles yesterday about the law did not have any life in it. The law is just law. And it had no power to save us. That's why this new law had to come that is always active. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So this new law does away, not with the law of sin, but with the sin that gives the law of sin its power, and enables us to keep the rightness of the law, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then we learned that it is sustainable. That flight you saw a moment ago was very short. It was a little shorter than the first air flight by the Wright brothers. How many have ever seen the video of their first flight? And it was, I don't know, what was it? That went 100 yards, maybe? It wasn't very long. The problem with aviation, and the problem the Wright brothers had, is not just to get the airplane up, but how could they sustain it, to keep it up there? Because if you happen to be flying from here to Rome, Italy, or to here from Jerusalem, you want that thing to be able to sustain its flight. And this is the same true with us. this power over sin must be sustainable. It isn't a matter of getting power over sin for 10 minutes or 5 hours or a week, but it must be sustainable. And this law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is sustainable. And then we learned last week that it in fact is the resurrection power. When we refer to the law of the Spirit of life, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, we are talking about the resurrected Jesus who is still alive. Now watch this. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. But look at this. Much more than being reconciled, we are saved by His life. And then we learned that it was provided by grace alone, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And then we learned that it is activated by our faith. We have access by faith. Faith is what gives us access to the resurrected power of Christ. Now, that's the end of our review. Let's go on today and see where what we can learn about this power that we can live and walk in this law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, we must understand the difference between reconciliation and salvation. I'm not sure a more grievous error has been made than this one. To equate the two is to lack the truth of the fact, the reality. So let's learn about reconciliation. Reconciliation is provided for everyone. Now this might shock you, but every sinner outside these doors, every sinner, every saint inside these doors was reconciled to God by the death of His Son, Jesus. Now watch this. It happened while we were enemies. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Jesus made it possible for God and man to be on talking terms. In other words, sin had created such a gulf, it's such so obnoxious to God, that there was no coming together, there was no meeting of the minds, there was no possibility for discussion until God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sin and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. And while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Now, most people know about the death of His Son, but they equate it to salvation and not to reconciliation. We're going to see reconciliation is a first part of the redemptive process. But this has been provided for everyone. Let's look at another verse. Therefore, as by the offense of one, which is Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, which is Christ Jesus, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. What is this gift that's referred to here? What has everybody been given irrevocably? The answer is the reconciliation has been paid by Jesus that everyone is reconciled to God. Let's look at a Hebrews passage. He, Jesus, is our peace, who hath made both one. Now watch this. Here's what He did. He hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us and God. There was this division, this wall of separation, if you please, this partition that separated us from God. And Jesus, through His death, broke down this wall. Now look at how He did it. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity. That's about reconciliation. This animosity between God and man was resolved by Jesus. He broke down this wall, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, and to make of Himself one new man, So making peace. Now watch why he did it. That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. The enmity that was between man and God was taken out of the way, and therein lies reconciliation. The reconciliation means the stuff that's in the way is taken out of the way so we can be on talking terms. And by the way, listen to a moment here. We're going to find out in a few moments that we are called to be reconcilers. When you try to reconcile two people, and if it happens between you and someone else, you need reconciliation. Let me tell you, the plain instruction, if your brother have aught against you, what do? You go to him. We initiate. A reconciler initiates the reconciliation. We're going to see our role in this in just a moment, but it is provided for everyone. Let's look at another scripture. Let's go to Corinthian passage here. All things are of God. Oh, and here's my second point coming up faster than I thought. Since all men do not know about this reconciliation, it is our task to inform them. All right, now these scriptures are really critically important. All things are of God. Now watch this. Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. That has been done. That is what Jesus did through his death on the cross. He reconciled us by his death. And now, in turn, he has given to us the ministry of telling others about this reconciliation. Okay? Now watch the next verse. To wit, in other words, by this method, is what to wit means, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Who did he reconcile? While we were enemies. All the enemies. Reconciliation has been made by Jesus for the whole world. The death of Jesus on the cross is the basis of this reconciliation. And everybody, now watch this, because this may even shock you more. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Now, let me give it to you in Phillips translations. So Phillips translation. God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world unto himself, not counting up their trespasses against them, but canceling them. The notion that God is sitting in heaven with a big chart with everybody's name, and every time you sin, he's writing it down, is not appropriate. It is not the image of God. It is a misrepresentation of God. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, he is not counting up their trespasses against him anymore, but he is canceling them to see if they'll respond to this reconciliation. What a reconciliation that God has made. And he has made it for the whole world. He was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespass against them, and now he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now watch this. So now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Because of this event and this reconciliation, you need to respond to this reconciliation. You need to respond to what Christ has done for you, because he is the one who, through his death, has paved the way, made it possible for you and God to be restored in your relationship. That is what Jesus did by his death. For, and here's how he did it. Here's how he did it. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Now, let's go more about this law. Now, we were talking about reconciliation, and now I want to talk about salvation. Two different things. Reconciliation was getting all the junk out of the way so that the possibility of salvation was paved for us, made, provided for us. Now watch this. Now watch this. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. That's reconciliation. But watch this. And don't miss this phrase, much more. Much, much, much more. The death of His Son provided reconciliation for the sins of the whole world. But much more than that, much more, look at this now, much more that from being reconciled, now watch this, here comes salvation, we shall be saved by His life. By His life. His death reconciles us. His life saves us. Oh, you got to get this, beloved. This is a critical truth for today. His death reconciles us. His life saves us. It is not enough for the drug addict. It is not, it's necessary, but insufficient for the drug addict that he's been reconciled to God. Because he's reconciled to God and he's still a drug addict. He needs something more than reconciliation. He needs power, energy, transformation. He needs regeneration. He needs life to come into him and cast out the evil. Whether it be the drug addict, the alcoholic, the sexual pervert, or the thief, or the murderer, the criminal, no matter what kind, I tell you, streams of sinners from all over the world have made their way to the cross. They've been reconciled there, but they received the life of Jesus, and that's what changes somebody. You're reconciled by His death, but you are salvaged, you are changed, regenerated, you are saved by His life. Something needs to come into me that's stronger and greater and more powerful than the enemy that's had control of my life. It takes life. More than being reconciled by His death, much more than being reconciled, we are saved by His life. And this, my friends, I think is the lost message of the day. We are asked today and told that we're saved if we believe that Jesus died for our sins. That doesn't save you. That only reconciles you. What is a saved person? A saved person is someone who was reconciled by the death, but has the life of God in him, active right now, delivering from the penalty of past sin, overcoming the power of present sin, and someday in the future, delivering us from the very presence of sin. Saving is not some legal transaction. To be saved is to assert that the life of Jesus is inside you. That's what it is to be saved. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. And this is used as properly it should be. Great salvation text. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus as your Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart. What do you have to believe in your heart? that God hath raised him from the dead. You have to believe in the resurrection to be saved. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Because, as you're going to see in a moment, it is faith that gives you access to the resurrection power of Jesus. But you must believe that God hath raised him from the dead. Otherwise, he can't save you. He's dead. So a fundamental, a categorical imperative of our faith is the resurrection of Jesus. It is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's the law that makes us free from the law of sin and death. And to be saved, to be salvaged from sin, from iniquity, from addiction, from you name it, requires more than the death of Jesus. It requires the entrance of the life of Jesus. I said a moment ago that I think we're on the threshold of the big issue of the day. Because we have now preachers of salvation, that you can be saved virtually by believing a few facts of history, praying a simple prayer without experiencing the life of Jesus. You see, what makes him the Savior is his power to save. What gives him the power to save today is that he's still alive. Hallelujah. See, if Jesus wasn't alive, we're stuck. There's no help. Now, you can get a little help, as you're going to see in a moment, you can get a little help from faith. But faith is not enough. It is faith, however, that brings the power of Jesus. Wow. So to be saved, one must believe that God hath raised him from the dead. Now, let's go to the gospel. Make no mistake about wherein the gospel consists. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you've received it, and you stand in this gospel, and by which you are saved. You are saved if you keep in memory what I've preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now watch this, because what must you believe to be saved? For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Now here it is. Number one. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's number one. Number two, that he was buried. Number three, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and there was evidence because he was seen. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. The death reconciles you to God, but it is the resurrection. It is the resurrection. Now watch this now. It's kind of interesting because there are really only two elements here. The death of Jesus, which reconciles you, and burial is the proof of the death. And then the resurrection, and look at this, and being seen of him is the proof of the resurrection. Okay? This is, see, you understand that without this resurrection, there's an anemic gospel. There's a no power situation. There's a reconciliation, but there is no redemption. There is no power. There's no change. Because he's reconciled the whole world to make the change possible. But what brings the change, what brings the salvation, is the life of Jesus coming into us. Now, this resurrection, this law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, is the basis of salvation for sure, but it also makes everything new. Know you not that as many as were baptized into Jesus were baptized unto his death? Therefore we are buried by him by baptism and death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, watch this, like as Christ was raised up, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Watch now. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, remember water baptism? We shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. It is not enough in a water baptismal service to immerse somebody in the water. You better bring them up. Reconciliation puts them in the water. Death to sin, I mean, taken care of. But when you come up out of the water, it's a symbol of the resurrection power of Christ. Therein, my friends, is that's why everything is made new. Look at this. Now we are delivered from the law. What law? We are delivered from the law of sin and death, because it's right here in chapter 7. That being dead, wherein we were held, but now we should serve in a newness of spirit. A change in me. Oh, we should stop and sing. There's been a change, a great change in me, a great change in me. Now I am so happy, now I am so free. Could have been a change. Reconciliation doesn't change you. It changes your status. It presents you with the possibilities of something, because what was a barrier between you and God is now broken down. The wall of partition is gone, but you're still stuck until the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus comes into you. And now we do what we do. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again, more than a conqueror. That's what I am. How does this happen? Because, dear friends, Jesus rose from the dead. He is alive, and he wants to, desires to, and is willing to come into me and be the power, the resurrection power, the life that I need to do so many different things that otherwise I am doomed. Makes new light. He provides all the energy and power I need. Oh, this is a great scripture. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet it's not I, but it's Christ that lives in me. Why, this is such good news. Because there's anything you can't do, don't worry about it, because his power in you will enable you to do what you couldn't do. You name it. Create an invention. Earn more money. Bless your family. Love your spouse. Raise your children. We have tasks that seem so difficult, so complicated this life has become. Let me tell you what. There is this life of Christ in you. that rises up and whatever you're missing gives you. If you're lacking compassion, it fills you with compassion. If you're lacking wisdom, it will bring you wisdom. If you're lacking power, strength, it will bring you power and strength. It is the resurrected Jesus alive today in you that provides energy and power for everything you need. And then it creates glory in us. The mystery. You can find out what the mystery is here in just a moment. Which has been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is manifested to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. It's Jesus in you. The hope of glory. It is Christ in us. Enables us to overcome antichrist spirits. The verse before this one, talking about evil spirits, the spirit of antichrist, which are now. But then it says, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome these spirits of antichrist because... This is a big word here, because. How are you able to overcome antichrist spirits? And beloved, there are a lot of them today. It's not just in our news. It's not just through our political system. It's not just in our educational system. Everywhere you look are antichrist spirits. They're cursing by his name. They're presenting the work of seducing spirits, the doctrines of demons, and there is filth, moral filth everywhere you turn. How? And let me tell you something. Behind all that moral filth, there are spirits. There are spirits that are against what Christ is for. That's why they're called antichrist spirits. They are antichrist. They are against the standards of Jesus. They're against the principles of Jesus. They want to knock you off of the commandments of Jesus. They're all over the place. They don't want you to love your neighbor as yourself. They don't want you to bless those that curse you. They don't want you to speak no evil. They want to entice you into evil speaking. They are antichrist spirits and they are abounding. But beloved, you are of God. You are of God, little children. And you have overcome them because, you ready now? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There is not a devil, there is not a demon so strong, so filthy, so vile, so enabled that can control you and conquer you, because what you have inside of you is greater. And what is this? It's a person that's inside you. It is Jesus inside you. You are reconciled to death by his death, but you are saved because of his entrance. And after he entered you, he stayed with you. That's why, you see, this law is sustainable. Because the resurrection power of Jesus doesn't run out. You can't overuse it. You can't overabsorb it. It is an endless flow. It is the life of God. It is the life of Jesus. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I tell you, dear friends, we're talking about something so important this morning. Because you see, you are reconciled by his death. Never minimize the death of Jesus on the cross. But oh, never underestimate the resurrection power of Jesus after the cross. That's why our crosses are empty. That's why we don't have a crucifix here. That's why you don't have a picture of Jesus strapped on there. Because he isn't there anymore. He is alive, and he is well, and he lives in beings, and he lives in his saints, and he's greater. And he's greater than everything that is against you. Do you believe this? Because it's your faith in this which activates this resurrection power. If you face your day tomorrow oblivious to the life of God in you, then you will have a whole hum day. But when you know that he the one by whose death you were reconciled to God. But when you know that he lives now, he enables you to overcome every evil spirit of Antichrist. Glory to his name. It makes your faith work. Now this one's critical, and I could spend... This one is so important that it begs a whole series, but let me see if we can keep it succinct. All right, this is, you really got to get this. Faith is a good thing. The world operates by faith. You buy products in faith. You buy carb in faith. Everything we do is by faith. And faith, you see this, now watch, because I want to show you the difference between the difference between faith and faith in God. Faith in itself has some merits to it. There are certain psychosomatic sicknesses that can be overcome by faith. You don't need God, you just need faith. There are some things faith can do. For example, faith will make you a positive person. That is, if you have faith in the right thing. So faith has some merits to it. But without Christ, all you have is faith. And it's not enough. Because faith in Christ brings Christ. Faith without Christ will bring positive mental attitude. That's a good thing. You should have a positive mental attitude. But you're still without power. So you see, like I want you to understand that faith is not the answer. Faith in faith is insufficient. People are always looking at their faith. And, you know, like you faith the grain of mustard seed, so you plant this grain and put it in a plant. And if every day you plant this thing and put it in your window to grow and you pull it up to see if it's growing yet, it's probably the thing's never going to grow because you just keep looking at your faith. You leave it. The focus of faith is not faith. The focus of faith is Christ. That's different. It's the difference between modern gospels of positive mental thinking and the power of the resurrected Jesus. Look at the scripture. If Christ be not risen, our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. In other words, if Jesus is not alive, and we carried on as if he were, even though he's not, Which you can do that. You know that. There are churches. Watch now. If you take Jesus out of the equation, you could still get people to have faith, and there would be some measure of help for them. But to cancel the power of sin over your life requires Jesus to cleanse you by his blood requires Jesus, not just faith. It requires Jesus. Let us be cautious to affirm that we are not mere preachers of faith, but we are preachers of faith in God. We are preachers of faith in Jesus. Because this faith isn't, you don't just get faith in what faith can give you, you get what Jesus can give you. And beloved, I need what Jesus can give me, not just what faith can give me. Yeah? Amen? Somebody say amen. It gives us power over sin. If Christ be not raised, if he isn't alive, look at this now. Look at the results. Your faith is vain, and you are still stuck in your sins. To be saved requires more than faith. It requires the Savior. I'm understanding what I'm saying to you. I'm hoping you're catching this. I have no way to affirm it. You see the difference. Not enough to have faith. We need Jesus. And if he is not risen, if he is not alive, if he is not accessible to you, then you're stuck just with faith. And you're still stuck in your sins. But he gives us power. So let's look at another verse. Well, here it is, the theme verse, the launch verse. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. And then this resurrection power is the life-giving force within us. It is a force that you can call upon when you need, and it will always be there. So it is written, the first man, which is Adam, was a living soul. Remember, God breathed Adam, the breath of life became a living soul. But the last man, Adam, which is Jesus, he was made a quickening spirit. That's what Jesus does in you, in me. He is a quickening spirit. He is a solution for a problem. He is a wisdom for a lack of understanding. He is strength to overcome weakness. He's a quickening spirit. He is the life-giving force. Take Jesus out of Christianity. It's nothing different than any other religion. Jesus is a quickening spirit. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He is the life. Let's look at the scripture because it's important. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Remember, according to the flesh, according to his history from David, the genealogy. Now watch this. And he is declared to be the Son of God with power. He is the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, watch it now, by the resurrection from the dead. He is what he is because of his resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. That's why he is the life-giving force. Now, this is what we should be witnessing about. Most witnessing today is about the reconciliation and not about salvation. Because what does it take to be saved? To be reconciled, it takes the death of Jesus. To be saved, it takes what? The life of Jesus. Right? What we should be witnessing to, and again, we need to tell the death of Jesus, but that's only a piece of the story. And most people in America know about the death of Jesus. If for no other reason to watch your news lately. Isn't it amazing? I watched the news last night. And secular news, they're debating Luke chapter 16. I mean, a senator and what's the guy's name? He used to be a senator. It's on Fox News, isn't it? Cossack. Whatever his name is. Hey, Kasich. And here they are talking about Katrina and whether God sent this judgment. What they haven't heard is that he is alive and wanting to come into their lives. Look at this now. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. That is what we need to be testifying to. Because you see, the death only reconciles us, but oh, beloved, the resurrection, the life of God, is what saves a person. It's what gives a person the possibilities that he can change you from a drunkard to a sober saint. He can transform you from an addict. He can take away your wretched, immoral thinking and wash you in his blood and make you fit for heaven. That takes the resurrected Jesus. And the apostles went everywhere with great power, giving witness of the resurrection. Oh, I keep going because I've got a promise. It ought to be the core of our preaching. The resurrection, the aliveness, the present day power of Jesus must be the core of our preaching. Now here we are in Acts. Certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered Paul, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. It's what he preached about. If people are going to get saved, certainly they must know about the death of Jesus on the cross, which reconciles them. But they cannot be saved without believing in their heart that God hath raised him from the dead. If you do not believe that God hath raised him from the dead, then you don't believe. Your lack of belief in that cuts you out of the very saving power that you so desperately need. It's the core of preaching. It's the goal of our relationship. The resurrection is the goal of our relationship. Here it is penned by us again in a very famous scripture, oft quoted. That I might know him. Look at this now. And the power of his resurrection. You've heard me teaching on the other side of that, on the fellowship of his suffering. be made conformable unto his death, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Do you remember Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1? Here's what it says. We have known Jesus after the flesh, but henceforth know we him no more. I taught on it some years ago. The bearded, robed, sandaled, fleshly, human Jesus that walked. We have known Jesus after the flesh, but that's not how we know him anymore. And our problem today is the fact that between Christmas and Easter, we only talk about and teach about and understand the Jesus after the flesh. The Jesus born in a manger. The Jesus gathering disciples. Teaching at the age of 12. And gathering a few crowds and healing and crucified. We know Jesus after the flesh. But henceforth know we him no more. So we know the reconciliation part. We just don't know the salvation part. We know the historic part. We need to know the power part. The power part is the resurrection of Jesus. All right. But I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Then it is the basis of all future hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We sang about it moments ago, because he lives, can face tomorrow. We don't just have hope for tomorrow, we have a lively hope. Things aren't just going to be good, they're going to be great. How can we believe that the future is so great? It's because of the resurrection of Jesus. That's why you know he's coming again to receive us unto himself. You know that between now and then, that no good thing will he withhold from you. That all the power you need to make it to the rapture or past death, everything you need is, you've got it. You should be so optimistic about tomorrow. We have this lively hope. And it's based on the fact that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and we're going to receive an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, and it's reserved for us in heaven. And right now we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Then the resurrection and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is in fact the very life of God that is in us. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I dwell in him. I dwell in him. He dwells in us. Oh, that's the subject for today. The indwelling Christ. See, reconciliation to death, wonderful, necessary, absolutely staggering in its import. But beloved, it's the life. It's his dwelling in us today that enables us to be free from the law of sin and death and to face tomorrow. He that eateth me, he shall live by me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, same bringeth forth much fruit. Look at this. Without me you can do nothing. See, without the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, without the resurrected Christ. And then in closing, it is this law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that enables us to triumph and to conquer. Now, thanks be unto God which always causes us to triumph in Christ. You cannot lose for winning because of Christ. It's why I can do all things through Christ. The humanist will tell you can do all things. The preacher will tell you can do all things through Christ, because this Christ is what strengthens you, is Jesus alive, resurrected in you. So what shall separate us from the love of God? That's the question that's asked. Persecution, nakedness, peril, sword. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him. This is the really big news. That we are not without Jesus. Or, if you are without Him, you can have Him today. If you have only been living the reconciled life and not the regenerated life, it's time to get the best half. If you've only been living the reconciled life, it's time to get the regenerated life, the basis of which was the reconciled life, the basis of reconciliation. It is possible to have humanistic Christianity. What is it? Humanistic Christianity is following all the things, the commandments, and everything else in the power and energy of your human ability, and to not experience the power of Christ, which is what makes living the Christian life easy. My way is easy. Why is it easy? Because you've taken His yoke upon you. You've learned of Him. He is linked up with you. When you take His yoke, you and He are yoked together, and He carries the bulk of the burden. It comes easy. You can do the human thing, but you have Him as the great compensator, the life, the energy, the power, the wisdom, whatever you need. It's wrapped up in this person. Don't live the Christian life without the power of the resurrected Christ. Because if you let Him live His life through you, oh, the wonders He'll do. Oh, the wonders. Wonders He'll do. What do you need to do this week that requires Jesus? Be careful not to downsize your life where only you are necessary to handle stuff. Your dreams, your ambitions can be fulfilled with you plus God. So the people, how did He do that? How did He know that? How did she get that done? It is because Jesus, the life in us, beloved, the life, the life. It is the same law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which makes us free from the law of sin and death. It's the same law. It is the same law that overcomes some sicknesses. For if the same Spirit dwell in you, He shall quicken your mortal body by the Spirit that dwells in you. The difference between me and a charismatic, there's a few, but one of them is terminology. They talk about the Holy Spirit. I talk about Jesus. They are the same. One is not right and the other wrong. You see, the resurrected Jesus lives in you by His Spirit. It is the Spirit of Christ. So don't put them in opposition to one another. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of Jesus. Can I just prefer to use the terms Christ in you, the hope of glory? Not the Spirit in you. But we know that the Spirit is in us. That's how Christ is in us. It's all about Jesus. Amen. Without bowing your head, you don't even have to close your eyes if you don't want to. I just want to pray. I want to pray for each of you now that you will know Jesus in the power of His resurrection. Count on Him. Trust Him. Believe, because He is raised from the dead, He will walk with you. He will talk with you. He will empower you. You are not alone. You need never fail, for greater is He that is within you. Oh, beloved, let's know the resurrected Jesus. Amen.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.